At least 58 people now dead, more than 500 people wounded.
17 fires burning right now in the state, 5,700 structures destroyed, at least 35 people dead.
I mean, this was a massive church just outside of San Juan with a congregation of 3,000 people. Maria just shredded this building.
ISIS released a new video today showing the execution of 21 Coptic Christians kidnapped in Libya.
Two suicide bombings killed more than 40 people on one of the holiest days on the Christian calendar.
North Korea fires yet another missile, but Pyongyang claims this one will be able to hit the U.S. mainland, striking cities like Los Angeles, Denver, even New York and Boston.
They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen.
The world seems so unstable, so insecure. Everything is changing way too fast. But there are some things that are steadfast, things that never change: God and His Word. Randy Reams is pastor of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. Join Pastor Randy now as he shares truths from God's unchanging Word.
Now, we do all fall on this often. We look at the situation we're in and we go, wait a minute. Here's what I think we need to do. We're no different. But then they were looking to man rather to God than God for a solution. Who did they look at? The nations around them. Wait a minute. This is how the world system works. It seems to work out there. Let's try that. Because we've been doing this judge thing for a while. And we don't like the way the judge thing. When these guys get kings, they seem to be unified all together and fight well. And when we see this whole judge thing, if you recall, most of the judges were local in these local battles, okay? And so they don't like that, okay? And this is where it says, now appoint a king for us to judge like all. Parents, have you heard? Everybody else is doing it. Okay, a good sign of immaturity. Right, but they were looking at the world system around them to determine how to solve the problem. You don't understand. The car was broken down, so I had to go buy one. It cost me $50,000 on time for 8 years. I had to. There just isn't any other way to do it. Okay, and I'll give you an example to this. If you have kids, they need an education. All right? Most Christians default to a system created by the world. They don't even think there's another option. Matter of fact, they will tell you how unqualified they are to teach their kids, even though the Bible says, especially to fathers, that's your job. Okay, yeah, I go to Medellin. I know that. Doesn't take me long. Okay, forgetfulness. They became forgetful. And forgetful of what? Forget what God has done. Matter of fact, in chapter 10 and in chapter 12, they repeat, listen, it was God who brought you out of Egypt. It was God who carried you through the wilderness. And Samuel even goes on and says, look, he gave you even the judges. And he names a few of them. He gave a way and a system for this to work. Do you remember God at all? Do you remember what he did before? Do you think this problem with this Amorite king is going to be any bigger than that? They forgot to be, good week for this, thankful for all God had already done. We would call that praise. That's what praise is, giving God praise and thanks for all that he's done. All right? So that is the reason that he gave them Passover. So you won't forget what God did on that day. He gave it to us, did he not? Do this often in remembrance of me, so you remember what he did. And when you remember what God did, you tend to trust him more for what's ahead, okay? And then I have impatience on the bottom. I'm not going to break that down right there, because I would suggest to you all the other things he was doing is what caused them to be impatient. Looking at other people around them for the solution, not happy with the way God's doing it, those kind of things, okay? And not being thankful. That will lead to impatience. So, we got to remember that in God's delay, and I say it like that, in God's delay, all right? The process of waiting is essential to God's purpose itself. Too often, we wait for the light at the end of the tunnel. We want to, it's the end result now that we'll praise him for. It's the end. No, 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 you don't understand. God is in the process, not just the outcome. God was in the process of Good Friday as much as he was in the outcome of Easter morning. He was in the process as much as Paul's bruises and stripes and imprisonments. He was in those just as much as he was when he got to Rome to share the gospel with the royal household. He was in that process. He was in the process of Moses being taken out into the desert and raising sheep for 40 years as much as he was when they walked out of Egypt in victory. He was much in the process in the middle of the wilderness as he was when they walked into the promised land and took possession of that. God has purpose in the process. That's why I can thank him in all circumstances. Not for, in. God, I know if I'm in this, you have purpose to it. I know in this, even though I'm not out of it, you've got something for me in the midst of it, okay? That prepares us for God's plan. And I'll use the king for an example. I want you to imagine being the king, and you've been anointed king, let's say. And here you go. You got to sit down and write.
Yeah, but I'm king. I got to have somebody write for me.
How long does it think you take to hand copy? That I don't know. That's got to take a long time to hand copy that. But see, God's preparing us for what he has planned for us. See, he was preparing Israel for what he has planned for them, David. But they didn't want to wait. They didn't see God in the process. They got tired of the education and wanted the outcome now. Man, if you've ever gone to school, especially beyond high school, you know that feeling. But your junior year of college, you're going, man, I'm about done with this. You know, if somebody could just hand me the degree, I'd take it. You wouldn't learn this stuff over those 2 years, but you'd take it. Plus, God's plan shows us where we are. Let me put it in Bible words. God tests us. Now, he doesn't test us to see what kind of grade we'll get. He tests us so we know what kind of grade we get. So we discover where we are in the process. That also makes us more reliant on him because we really realize we all get D's and F's, if you will, by that context. And there he uses those delays to mature us. It is interesting that the fruit of the Spirit in that list is patience. Are you spiritually mature? I'm a lot more mature than I used to be. I'm a lot more patient than I used to be. So this is what you got to remember, though. If God's the author of time, and he makes no mistakes, and he knows more than you, you are exactly where he intends you to be. But I don't like where I am, thank you. Okay, yesterday, because after Thanksgiving, my kids start early and it's decorate day. So they get the Christmas music going, the Bing Crosby and all that very early in the morning. But then that means I'm packing, you know, those containers, plastic containers, in a big Christmas tree box, okay? And so when I walk in there this morning, my back and hip are screaming at me, wait a minute, God, you know where I'm at. I'm exactly where you want me to be. And I'm going to tell you truthfully, God taught me a lot about patience. He taught me a lot about praise and worship through my accident and through my injury and through my surgeries. I would not trade those lessons for anything. If I could choose another route, would I choose one? Absolutely. But what I learned in the process, I come to understand, God, you're where I'm where you want me to be. And I want you to understand as a pastor what that means. You know what that means, Arlene, is I'm not competing with big church down the street. I'm not competing to find out if, boy, they have nicer music. They have nice lights. Did you know the kind of pulpit that he has? Have you seen that guy's office? I don't understand. I'm right where I need to be. Now, it doesn't mean that I don't have a desire that we might reach more people for Christ, that we might, God might use us in the discipleship of more families. I didn't say that. But I recognize if there's 10 people in this room or 100 people in this room, that's God. Let me share another little story. I got a video from Cambodia. The water's deep enough that it's up to the, you know, halfway up the car doors. Now, their cars, they don't drive SUVs like us, but halfway up the car doors. And you can hear just praying away. You know why? Because it's Sunday. And they're going to church if the water's as deep. I'm not doing that for conviction. I'm doing it. They understand. They know this. Wait a minute. God calls me. We've got things to do. God knows the water's as deep. So they're going to church. But God's in charge. He's the one that makes the rain. I don't know if you guys know this, but in the Tower of Babel, right? And they say they're going to build this tower to heaven. People says, why made them think they'd do this? You know what? The Bible tells us that they pitched it. Same word that Noah pitched the ark inside and out. Here's what I think they were thinking. You go ahead, bring the float on. We're going to build a waterproof tower, and we're untouchable. They knew this. God brings the rain. He's in charge of that. But if we get up high enough, we can get up above what God has figured out. He can't take us and correct us. And then all of a sudden they couldn't understand what each other was saying. Don't think that your situation is beyond the ability for God to do something about. Positive or negative. Especially when you're young. You don't think you'll get caught. You don't think that, and I watch these videos online, most of you have seen them where you got particularly young men, they're trying to ride a bike, jump the bike across this building to this other building, or skateboard up something and they fall down, you know, everybody see that? You will pay for that. I'm just telling you, I'm sorry that's sort of off the subject, but as I get older, I recognize all that dumb stuff you do when you're young, you will pay for that. But when it comes to the things of God, you think you can sass your mama and that won't come get you. It will. Be sure your sins will find you out because he's the one in charge of including time. He tells you, this is why he can say that if you obey your parents, life's going to be good. Why? Because he wrote time. He's already been there, if you will, and seen the outcome. I would suggest he did more than see it. I suggest he wrote the outcome, but I'm not getting into that theology, okay? He knows more than you. Parents, come on. Don't you love it when your 13-year-old's trying to tell you how life is? Right? No, Ma, Dad, you don't get it. You're just out of time. I don't get it. Do you ever treat God like that? Yeah, but you don't understand, God, the mess we're in, the thing we're in. God, we got to do something, God. You don't understand, God. Yeah, the Bible tells us that he was touched in all points as we are and was yet without sin. And we've talked about how that happened before, so I'm not going into that. We forget, remember James 1. Anybody remember James, right? Trials produce patience, endurance. What's the word? Greek word. Hupomone. What's it mean? Cheerful endurance. Wait a minute. I thought it was just hanging in there to wait till we get to the end. No, it's cheerful endurance. And then it goes on after it says that in James 2 through 4. It says, wait a minute, but if you lack something, particularly lack wisdom, ask God. And when it comes to this, he's generous and unbiased. You got to believe that he's going to answer. Then he gives warnings about looking at your situation. He talks about the humble and the rich. He warns you about, wait a minute, don't look at the situation for the answer. Then verse 12, it says, blessed is the man who perseveres. Now before, when it says trials produce endurance, that's the noun version. Now he goes to the blessed who's the man, the verb version. The verb version, I know you don't care, but it's the present indicative active. But present tense means this, habitual, continual. Blessed is the guy who has, it's the habit of them to be cheerful in their endurance. Isn't that a sign of Israel? I mean, I don't see that in Israel. I don't see cheerful endurance from the moment they left Egypt. I saw whiny endurance, maybe. Galatians 6 and 9. Let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season you will reap if you do not lose heart. There's this thing in Scripture called seed, time, and harvest. I like to think of it this way, not seed time, but seed, time, and then harvest, because that's how it naturally works. And that's how it works in our life. If in due season, at the right time, what Israel got here is they got looking at the world around them. They didn't like the way God's, and they jumped his timing. Have you ever jumped God's timing? Ooh, golly. And it takes you so long to recover from that. If you know the story of Samuel, or Saul, right? King Saul, that's who gets anointed here. You know, relatively, by chapter 14 or 15, I think, is God's already removed his blessing off him. By the way, it's because he was impatient. We'll get that when we get there. But the whole mess with David being pursued, okay, with the civil war, with all the things go on because somebody jumped God's timing. Because they started looking at the world. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Don't be unequally yoked with those in the world. It means that basically this the world system. What has that got to do with where you are? What do all those other countries with kings have anything to do with you, Israel? Because they're not my portion. You're my portion. You're my people. I have a system by which that works. I'm surprised how many people really don't trust God's system. I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I don't know how many of you give regularly. I don't know. I don't know which of you give a remnant. And by the way, if you want to know how that remnant is, when the Bible says that the people of Israel were taken off to Babylon, right? It says a certain percentage was left behind. What percentage was that? 10%. When they all come back and Jerusalem walls have been rebuilt, and you got these people living out here in the remainder of Israel, what percentage had to move back into Jerusalem? 10%. Don't you dare tell me that's law. No, God is the sample, if you will, the symbol, the portion that represents his remnant is 10% always. Okay, how many of you knew that, what I just shared with you about the people in Babylon? So I don't know how many of you do that. That's not the point. If you don't, you don't trust his system. Oh, that's just man-made. That's just preachers wanting money. Then you read the book and you give me a different number. I can tell you this, that the New Testament antitype's always greater than the Old Testament type. Always greater. Jesus is a greater lamb than the lamb. It's always greater. I don't know how many, I can't look at you and convict you. I don't mean it that way. But you know why we don't do it? Because we don't trust God's system. We don't pray because we don't believe it works. Now, that ain't true here because we've been having some good prayer. For I don't know how long now, but we had a good portion of people meeting and praying every Wednesday night. And I was talking to my dad on the phone the other day, and I was telling him, he says, dude, something's going to happen. I says, I know, Pop, because when that many people gather in to pray. So, okay, but we don't read the Bible because we don't think it makes a difference. We don't really believe God's system works. Why do you lack that trust? Do you have your eyes in the wrong place? Are you looking for something else for the solution? If your marriage is falling apart, you know where the answer is found in Scripture. You just won't like what you find. Your finances are falling apart. The answer is going to be found in Scripture, not out in the world. It sure ain't going to be found in Hollywood, because it's coming apart right now if you've seen all the accusations out there. Okay, so even in Hollywood, their sexual culture has come back to get them, huh? But do you trust God's system? Uh-oh. Please don't get mad at me because you're going to know that I'm sort of talking about you. Don't get mad at me. I'm not into institutionalized church. Well, I hate to tell you, God instituted it. God established that idea of the corporate. And I was reading recently again Francis Schaeffer and how he talks about in our culture, we've completely lost the corporate. We're all on the individual side. Now, you can run amok with that. It can go the other way around. I understand that. But in our culture, the reason you don't go to church because you don't believe God set the system up. Well, would you please read your Bible? There's always been one church, those who have come to God by faith, by His, through His grace, Old Testament, New Testament, it doesn't matter. It's the same. If you don't believe me, read, isn't it Hebrews 13, the faith chapter, right? This guy by faith, that guy by faith, all these Old Testament guys by faith. That's it. He's had a church, and he's always called that church to gather. To gather. By the word ecclesia means called out to gather. Now, if I take the actual word and break it down, it's to call out. But in their culture, it became to call out and gather. It was used of the Sanhedrin. The ones that were called out are the normal folks to gather to judge Israel, like the elders, I guess. So God created that. Do you trust God's system or not? You can look at Israel all you want, sort of judge them.
What a bunch of idiots. How could they not trust God's system?
But I would suggest to you, in our world, we don't. Then the next thing is, do you let that lack of trust make you move too soon? All right, listen to me, young man and young woman, okay? God has a spouse for you. Don't miss his timing. Don't get impatient, probably by hormones, but don't get impatient and look around you at your friends are getting married, but you're not married. Don't look at that. You jump God's timing in that one, make Saul look like a lightweight. Too many people have done that, not just I guess in the Christian world, but I suppose in the secular world, people will tell you they made a mistake with the first one. How do you avoid missing God's timing? Don't look at the world around you. Look to God's word as the answer. So watch. The more time I spend with my wife, the more I know her. The more likely it is I could predict what she'll do in a particular situation. Those of you who've been married a long time, you can almost finish each other's sentences, okay? You will have spent less time praying whether or not something is God's will and God's timing the more time you spend with Him. The more time you spend in His Word, the more time you spend in prayer, you will find less time going, ooh, is this what I should do, God? Should I do this now? Because you'll know Him better, and that will bring that, I'll call it insight, but really it's revelation that happens, okay? And then a good scripture, by the way, on that is Colossians 1, 9 and following. But I wanted to end with this. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. In what time? Yeah, but I like exaltation now, please. I don't like waiting when the bill's due on the 27th to pay it on the 26th. I don't want to wait till I don't have a car to drive anymore. I'm going to go buy one on a massive amount of debt. Now, trust me, you've heard me say this. If you walk in the door and you got all that half cash or three-quarters cash, okay, I understand that. But if you owe more on the asset than what it's worth, that would be unbiblical debt, because Bible doesn't allow for unsecured debt. So if I was going to go borrow money for a new donkey, I would have to give them something of equal value as collateral. So the asset has now been covered. When you walk into the Dodge dealership and buy yourself a new truck with zero down, don't pay till next November. Yeah, you will. All right, okay, $50,000. Boy, you don't understand. My car was just having a hard time. I know that, but wait a minute. If you're walking, was God in charge of that? Did God know you were going to be walking? Who knows who you'd have met while you were walking? You might have met that homeless guy that you drive by every day. I don't know. But anyway, sorry. In due time, casting all your care. My worries, my concerns on Him in due time. in his time, for he cares for you. See, that's the other thing Israel didn't get. They didn't understand God cared. They thought they were going to face this Amorite king, and God just didn't care that the mess they were in. We got an old prophet. His sons ain't serving. We got this king coming. Let's fix it. Now, what I mean, cast your cares on him, and in due time. Why? Because he does care. So that's a message I want to sort of end with to you today. You might be going through something, say, where are you, God? The Amorite king is no longer at the border. He's crossed the border. I want you to understand, God still cares. If you put your trust in him, he will take care of it. It won't happen how you necessarily want it, but last I checked, you weren't in charge. So he's going to get his way one for another. The question is, you can go through the whole Saul experience or just patiently wait, because let's get real. Samuel's still alive to anoint David. Samuel doesn't die during Saul's rulership. See, they're looking at him going, you old, you ain't going to get us very far. Give us a king that will carry us when you die. That king comes and goes, and Samuel anoints. Let's stand. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you still care, that you always care, you never stop caring. God, help us then, I ask you, Lord, to keep our eyes set on you, not on those around us, not on the situation we're in. Draw us closer to you, God, there that we might know you more and hear your voice. Like Samuel, our first response will be to pray. And even when you speak, we say, God, we got to spend more time, we got to hear you again. God, help us when we're impatient. Impatient in regards to you. Father, we recognize that you're the process, you're in the process, and you care enough to take us through the process, that you might prepare us for what you have ahead. And then, oh God, we can truly experience you. Be glorified, I pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Randy Reams of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. I want to thank you for joining us today for Truths from God's Unchanging Word. This broadcast is an outreach ministry of Kindred Bible Church. I'd like to invite you also to visit our website, kindredbible.org. There you can listen to today's broadcast as well as previous broadcast. If you're being ministered to by the broadcast, I'd like to encourage you to let us know. You can email us at info@kindredbible.org, or you can write to us at Kindred Bible Church, P.O. Box 32, Nampa, Idaho 83653. And I'd like you also to check us out on Facebook. Look at us over there and give us a like. So again, I want to thank you for listening to Truths from God's Unchanging Word.